You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
For the fans, I'm your co-host Steve, alongside my Bleed Blue partner Crime Chris, and we are joined by Bleed Blue Show Yankees analyst and writer for the New York Yankees Talk on WordPress and on site, Mr. Kenny. 929-477-4171 is the call-in number to the Bleed Blue Show. You can press the number one button on your touchtone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions or comments. You can follow the show and stream live from the BleedBlueShow.com website, at the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, at the Bleed Blue Show. We're right in the heart of spring training right now for the New York Yankees. Today on the broadcast, we'll be discussing Yankees, spring training, Yankee news, thoughts, and opinions. Email the Bleed Blue Show at the Bleed Blue Show at gmail.com, right from the Bleed Blue Show website.com. Website, Kenny, what's going on with the Yankees? How you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. The Yanks look good. They threw a look at the opening day lineup at the Red Sox a couple nights ago. At the Braves a couple nights ago. And they looked real sharp. Not too many holes. Pitching staff looks good. I'm excited about this team.
Yes, and tell everybody how we could find your articles, find your content from when you write for the New York Yankees.
You can find my articles at newyorkyankeestalk.wordpress.com or on my Facebook page, New York Yankees Talk. It's all right there.
All right. Cool. And quick other news, Bleed Blue Show news. The Rangers, as we know, Kenny, big Rangers fan, as we know, got tonight at the Buffalo Sabres. And you can check out the Rink podcast and archives on the Bleed Blue Show, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn app. Also, the Knicks coming off the skid in Los Angeles to the Lakers. And you can check out the Fan Forum shows throughout the week, Monday through Friday. And you can check out those archives in the content library of the Bleed Blue Show. And also, the New York Football Giants roundtable will resume 6 p.m. And I know a lot of the guys have a lot to say as far as the New York Football Giants transaction. So Sunday, 6 p.m. for the New York Football Giants. Let's bring on this guy. He is the soul of the New York Knicks fan base, Mr. Knickerbocker Ave. How are you doing?
Good morning, sir. It has been a while since we talked, you know, considering that the Knicks are out west. A lot of things have been happening. The Knicks are out west. They came off that win in L.A. The Rangers are on a tear. The Giants making all those moves.
Yes.
And how about the spring training for the Yankees? I don't know about you, but after all this talk we've been having the last couple of weeks about Masahiro Tanaka, and then he has that, you know, those two perfect innings in his outing. I'm feeling pretty good, you know, all things considering.
Yeah, that's a nice segue, Knickerbocker Ave, as far as Tanaka, and we're going to go right there first because I was going to discuss the game last night versus the Red Sox, but we could get into the Tanaka performance. Kenny, if you want to lead off with that as far as Tanaka's performance versus the Atlanta Braves a couple of nights ago, throwing the two perfect innings, pretty much topping off at close to 94, 95 miles per hour on his fastball. What's your thoughts on the Tanaka performance versus the Braves?
I think he looked fantastic. He had that splitter going real hard. Good fastball. You know, I think he struck out a couple guys, got a lot of ground balls. Looked like the Tanaka we saw at the beginning of last season. I'm very excited to see what as he progresses through spring training. I think he looked great.
Now, as far as the pitch count, Knickerbocker Ave and Kenny, how you feel about Tanaka? What do you want? Do you guys like where he is right now as far as him throwing balls, tossing balls in short performances like that versus the Braves? What was your thoughts as far as where you want to see the pitch count going into the next outing, whether it's split squad or full session?
Well, me personally, I would like to see, you know, the pitch count, you know, start to creep up a little. But it's a good starting block for him, you know, considering he's coming off, you know, the elbow injury. He's coming off of, you know, that long time off, and then, you know, when he started to, you know, pick it back up, you know, from the season. So I'm glad. I'm happy with what I'm seeing with the pitch count, his performance. I'd just like to see, you know, the numbers start to creep up, you know, slowly but methodically, you know, just to the point where he is absolutely ready and, you know, he's back to his true form, which is the, you know, the form that we signed him for. Because I mean, we did pay a lot of money to get him here, you know, from Japan, outbidding, you know, the Dodgers and the Red Sox and all the other teams. So I'm happy right now. I just want to see some progression going on.
And Kenny, as far as the performance versus the Braves, what about you as far as pitch count, progress, what you want to see out of Tanaka? Slowly, steady, you know, slow and steady wins the race, right? In the Major League Baseball,
yeah.
162 games, right?
Yeah, I agree with Knickerbocker completely. He only threw 19 pitches on Thursday. I think he got another start scheduled for this week. You know, maybe he can creep up into the 35 to 40 pitch range. Maybe he'll have another two starts after that. Work his way up to, you know, 80 pitches by the end of spring training to get him ready for opening day where he won't have any restrictions, hopefully.
Now, I know this isn't really fully related to our team with the Yankees, but the Rangers, Yu Darvish is out for the season with the Tommy John surgery coming up for him. Do you think the Yankees have any concern? This is for both of you guys, Knickerbocker, Av, and Kenny. Do you think the Yankees are still cautious with Tanaka, knowing not only what he had just went through last season, but the fact that other starting pitchers coming to the Major League Baseball, that this is kind of a concern. I don't remember like Tommy John's being this prevalent like in recent memory as it was a yonder year before. You think the Yankees are going to handle this with care?
I'm pretty sure that Brian Cashman, the Steinbrenner family, and Joe Girardi and Larry Rothschild, they're all like, you know, monitoring the situation very closely. They're very aware of what's happening with Yu Darvish, and because of that, they also now have to, you know, keep a very close eye on Tanaka just to make sure that something like this doesn't happen to him, because they put again they put out a lot of money in investing in this kid. And If Tommy John is what he needs to happen, they may want to, you know, address it now better than later, because, you know, right now it's just spring training, you know, these games don't count, and you know, early on this season, I mean, yeah, you lose them for the season, but at least this season you probably didn't have these high hopes, as opposed to next season when, you know, you start looking at all these other little issues like, what are you going to do with your outfield? You know, who's going to be your closer forever? Who's going to be, you know, who's going to be working your infield? Once you start making those changes and start to contend for a championship later on, because I don't think this is the year for the Yankees to be talking about number 28. Although I know a lot of fans would hope that they do, but in reality, since they're not going for number 28 right this very second, if Tommy John is in his future, it'd be best to address it now better than later.
All right, go ahead, Kenny. You're up. As far as any additional thoughts as far as with Tommy John and Tanaka.
Yeah, I agree that if they're going to go the Tommy John route, it's better to do it sooner rather than later. But it's not like Tanaka and the Yankees went rogue by not having the surgery. There were four leading experts, four separate doctors that told him that surgery was not necessary. So if you go along with what they're saying, I don't think there's a reason to get really worried at this point. You know, Yu Darvish had a more serious tear to his UCL. It was not the same ligament, but not the same injury per se. A little more severe. He definitely needed to have the surgery. So I think for right now, as long as you stay cautious, but you don't need to freak out. You don't need to say surgery is a must right now. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and also with the Yankees coming off the win last night versus the Red Sox and the night before that versus the Braves, pretty much since last Saturday when they had faced off versus the Astros, they had a nice little win streak in spring training. And is there anything in these performances, Kenny and Knickerbocker, that you liked, what you saw, whether it was the, versus the Astros on last Saturday? Is there anything from the Tampa Bay Rays game or the Nationals, or even when they lost to the Orioles and Red Sox earlier this week? Is there any progress? Is there anything that you liked, disliked in these wins and losses with the New York Yankees, whether it was from pitching, from a hitting perspective, just getting out there and getting warmed up?
Well, I really liked the way the young guys were hitting. You know, the guys that probably aren't going to make the squad, or if so, they'll be reserve players like Ref Snyder, Perella, Aaron Judge, Greg Bird. They all look real good. The Yanks are scoring a lot of their runs in these games towards the back half of the game, where they don't have the starters in anymore. I think it's great to see these guys hit. It means we got a lot to look forward to in the next few years, and I'm really looking forward to it for sure.
I'd have to second that motion. I'm definitely with Kenny on this one. I'm really liking to see what the young guys are doing. They're kind of like making their voices heard and letting them be shown, and letting Girardi and the organization know, hey, you know, you want to keep an eye on me. You want to eventually call me up, because this is what baseball is all about. While you have all these veterans, you know, inhabiting all these current positions right now, should any of them falter due to injury or for whatever the reason may be, you want to start looking at those Aaron Judges and so on and so forth. You want to look at those young guys. And like Kenny said, I like the fact that they're getting most of their hits and their runs in the later part of the games, because you say, like, time and time again, Steve, timely hitting. You want to see guys fighting against the lead. I mean, sure, you want to get a lead and then keep it, but, you know, and that's always important as well. But it's really nice to see that the Yankees, even in spring training where it doesn't count, but you like to see them, you know, fight back against the lead, you know, overcoming leads, and then in most cases getting over the hump and just getting to their closer, which is, I like to see where this is happening. I'm hearing that they're pretty much set on having Betances be the closer, but till that actually becomes official and everything is set in stone and we're into the season, I'm liking what the Yankees are doing, especially the young guys.
Yeah, I got to bring on this guy. He's the soul of New York sports as from the fan perspective, the godfather of the Knicks, a Yankees Don, Giants Cabo. Chris, what's up? How are you doing?
How are you, sir? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, man. Okay.
Good morning.
I'm running late. I'm just running in here. How you guys doing? I'm sorry. I missed the entire broadcast so far. Don't shoot me for that. Don't take away my pay. Don't fine me. Don't send me to the locker room. Don't kiss me. Please.
There's no Bud Selig stuff. No Bud Selig stuff. No Mitchell reports for this. You ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about that.
You know. Yeah, because this is the New York area. It'll be in the papers quick. You know what I mean? Don't let
it's
you know.
It's on Twitter already.
Don't let that you know, man. Yes, it will. What's going on, gentlemen?
Oh, no.
What's going
oh,
on?
No.
What's happening?
Not much.
Hey,
a little
man,
bit Yankees talk. You know how we do. What's your thoughts, Chris? We pretty much talked about what Tanaka did the other night, a couple in his pitch, batters out. What's your thoughts on Tanaka versus the Braves, and what's your expectations as far as pitch count for the rest of spring training?
I'm with everything that Kenny said last week, which was we may have to be cognizant of the pitch count situation with him, bring him along slowly at the beginning of the year. There's a possibility that that far-fetched thing that I didn't go with at first, that six-man rotation situation, might work in the beginning, possibly not the pennant race, but, you know, in the beginning of April, May, you could probably play with it a little bit in order to get everybody on, kind of on board and acclimated to whatever the rest of the season will entail. But with Tanaka, he's a priority, man. He is, for all intents and purposes, our rotation chief, man. And if we're going to protect anybody in that situation, it has to be him. So, yes, I do. I like the way he looks. But, you know, again, this is spring training area, you know, and I can't really give a full, you know, I'm not going to give you a full report on how I think he's going to do yet. But I'm going to tell you what, he does look good. I'm totally optimistic that he will, in a rotation, be as effective as he was last year. And we need this kind of time to evaluate our pitches because, you know, he's not the only one. I think Sabathia also, as well is going to need some monitoring. You know, Capano, monitoring. Pineda, a little monitoring, not very much. I think he's ready. And then I don't even know what Nova is going to look like later on. So, yeah, it's my thoughts. I think the Yankees are doing the right thing. Bring him along slowly. Monitor his pitch count. Just his the way he pitches, which is like I want to watch his shoulders. I just want to make sure that he doesn't fall into the Tommy John trap that I think four guys already this preseason. I mean this. Spring training have already done around the league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just and that's what happens when you rush back. All of a sudden, there's a Tommy John situation. I don't wish that on our players. So let's see what happens.
Hey Chris, let me ask you a quick question about that. I just kind of mentioned that about right before you came on. Is there an incline on the Tommy John? I don't remember watching baseball going this many cases of it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
At this rate.
For some reason. Yeah.
Why is that the
For
case?
Some reason,
why is that the case?
I don't know. I don't. You know,
so
like
ACL
I said,
injuries in football,
do,
you know?
It, you know, golly, just took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. For some reason, there's a step up in the Tommy John injuries, and I believe it's because there's more of a pressurized situation on pitching, having a 95-mile-per-hour pitch in your repertoire. And not necessarily a fastball. Back in the days, in the 70s, it was a 95-mile-per-hour fastball that was the total measure of how good or how great you could be. But now, you know, it's curveballs, it's sliders, you know, it's all these specialized pitches kind of things that Clayton Kershaw throws. So now that's supposed to be the norm and scouts base you on that, I think that's causing the uptick in these injuries, man. It's no different from the ACL injuries where they expect you it's another sport, but in football they expect a 6'5", 350-pound lineman to do a 4.8 and a 40. Come on, man. You're obviously going to have an ACL later on after that. Well, it's the same thing if you're you know, a strike zone pitcher. If you're used to, you know, finding your points and throwing your sliders and stuff like that, you're not really interested in throwing 95 miles an hour. But today's baseball world, you better be interested or else you're not going to get on the roster. So I think it's the expectation. I think it's the I pretty much think it's that. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's something
that
I actually paid attention to.
Go ahead,
Nickelbacker. That's something I paid attention to is that you know the rise in the amount of Tommy Johns and ACL tears and all these little you know small little
mm-hmm.
ligaments in our joints,
mm-hmm.
but I'm noticing that you know that these surgeries are happening a whole lot more rampant. What people used to say was that if you got Tommy John 9 times out of 10, you would come back and you would be almost better than you were. Your fastball just has more zip, it has more cut, it has more this,
yes.
it has more that.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, people when you hear the term Tommy John in terms of a pitcher, like you, Darvish, you know, like you know, when we were talking about Masahiro Tanaka and you know, Nabo Pineda and Nova and all that stuff, when you hear about that stuff,
right.
the first thing you hear is like, oh, when they get back, they're going to be deadly. Oh, you know, there's more zip, there's more flexibility in their elbow or in their shoulder or this, that, and the third. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, if you need to have surgery to improve the game that you already have, now that
mm-hmm.
we're in the post-steroid era, it's like, mm-hmm. isn't this another version of performance enhancing, you know, without the drugs? I always look at it in that way because it's kind of, you know, you're improving something that God already gave you. You know, you're medicinally or medically improving something that you already have. And although it's supposed to help them, it also kind of, like, helps them cheat at the same time. So I've always been kind of 50-50 with the Tommy John talk. If it's not there to repair, then why are you getting the surgery done? It's almost like, you know, breast enhancement for baseball players.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's deep. I'm sorry, that's deep. Hello?
No, I was just saying with the rapid comeback, it just seems like a steady incline of that, just a steady of it's just more prevalent than others. I think you just got to handle it with care. I don't know how they're going to attack this. Kenny, I got a quick question for you because Chris kind of led to it, segue to it. Chris Campiano, he's kind of out, I guess, for the next month. What's the talk on New York Yankees talk on your WordPress and on the sites as far as the talk with him and his condition and expectations of coming back?
You know, he's supposed to start the season on the DL, and it's not really clear when he's coming back. If you don't know, he got a strain in his right quad trying to cover first base in the first inning of a game earlier this week. It's a grade 2 quad strain, which is somewhat severe. But it's not really clear when he's coming back. So I think what the Yankees got to focus on right now is who they're going to have replace him initially at the start of the year as the number 4 or 5 starter. We're looking at 4 possible options, I think, in Esmiel Rogers, Adam Warren, Scott Baker, and Brian Mitchell. Scott Baker and Brian Mitchell kind of at the bottom of that list with Warren and Rogers at the top. I like Brian Mitchell the best. I think he's got a great fastball. I think he can go places. He's a young guy. Maybe the Yankees don't see that. Maybe they think he needs a little more time to develop. Adam Warren is probably the front runner at this point. He pitched well yesterday, got the win. I think if he were to be the number 4 or 5 starter, if he takes Capuano's place, I think we'll do okay. I think he's a comparable pitcher to Capuano. And when Capuano does come back, maybe towards the end of April, early May, I don't think there's that too much to worry about because, like with CeCe, it's not an arm injury. It's a quad injury. So not going to have to worry about pitch count or anything like that. Just make sure his quad's ready for him to push off and for him to play on. But other than that, I think we're okay.
Okay. Let's see, 929-477-4171. Let's bring in a caller from the queue. Let's bring in a call 602 if you have anything to say on the Yankees or just the spring training in general. Call from the 602. What's your name? Where you call from?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Nacho. I was actually just listening to
seeing
what you guys are talking about. I'm not very, very
who's
big
squad?
On
that. Matter of fact, who is this squad? Are you a Yankee fan?
You know,
my only
baseball memory of my team is a Luis Gonzalez blooper from the Mariano Rivera pitch.
Don't bring that up.
You guys have 27 victory stories. I got one. So y'all just let me bask in that one, all right?
That should have been 28, man.
Let me say something about that real quick. I know 27 is a lot of championships, and as Bleed Blue fans as we are, for the teams we root for, we honor those 27 championships. Matter of fact, 5 since the strike in the mid-90s. However, I really wanted that one, the one versus Arizona.
Yes, I did.
I really wanted that one. That was the same year.
That was the 9/11 one. 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
That was the World Series where it was like those games were so epic.
Yeah.
Scott Brosius hitting game-winning home runs versus I think Ken was the reliever for the
Diamondback. Yep.
Oh man, I really
Kim
wanted that. We should have had that one.
Young Kim.
And I know we love Mariano. We got to give him the respect. I was so disappointed in that. I know you can't win them all, but I really wanted that one.
I remember I cried. I cried so bad. Just because Jeter almost had that ball, it just was right over his glove, and they ended up winning that one. It's like, no, this doesn't feel right. And everybody in America that night, unless you lived in Arizona, but everybody in the United States was hoping the Yankees would win it, just because it would mean that one meant so much to the city, to the country, to everything.
That's
considering
right.
What just happened, you know, what 2 months prior. But my hat's off to you guys for that one. But fuck you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to be that nice. I'm not going to be that nice. I am pissed off. I hate Tony Womack to this day.
Yeah.
For getting lucky. Luis Gonzalez had a lucky ass blooper because friggin' Gina was on one leg actually. And the worst part, the part that really got to me was the fact that Arizona was out of pitches and they had to use Schilling and Randy
and Johnson.
For the bullpen. And I'm gonna meet you outside, man. I haven't talked to you about this, man. off the podcast. I'm mad. I'm upset. Okay, sorry. I'm back.
I mean, as a matter of fact, since you're here, we'll get back into the Yankees. Is there anything out there going on in the desert as far as your squad or anything in baseball in general that you like, dislike from a Major League Baseball perspective on the 2015 season? Not sure.
Well, actually, like I was starting to say, I'm not a huge baseball fan. I do like the sport. My team is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like I said, the only memory I got of them is that us making the playoffs a couple years ago, and you know, us being shitty the past couple years. Other than that, I don't really know too much about the team. I don't know too much about the players quite yet. But due to this show and a couple other shows and things like Will Ferrell playing in 6 games in spring training yesterday. things like that are making me want to watch baseball and get more involved. And I think that's good because, like I said, you know, NBA, NFL, and to some degree, even soccer takes more of my time than baseball. And I think baseball being America's pastime and one of the great sports in this country, I feel like I've been letting myself not experience the full fandom of baseball. And thanks to shows like this, I'm starting to get into it.
Gotcha.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Cool. Yeah, we definitely cover all the sports and love sports and especially the teams, the Yankees and all the other shows that we do for this platform. And we have the fans with their opinion as freely and respectfully unfiltered as possible. So that's definitely why we do this thing. I got to get back to the Yankees real quick. This Diamondback stuff. I got to leave with you, Nacho. I forgot about that. Diamondback. Damn. That stung. That World Series stung. I think that stung more than the Florida one to me.
That hurt.
That one stung.
Wait, all right. Quick question, Steve. Which one hurt more, that World Series or the 2004 Red Sox?
Not 2004.
All right.
It was because who it was and how it happened.
Yeah.
This wasn't going to turn into a therapy session, but we might as well say it, might as well have it. That stung too, man. I couldn't eat for a week, man. Kenny,
I was suicidal.
Kenny, were you? Did they have to put you in the mental ward for that World Series too? Not World Series, the AL with the Boston Red Sox.
The thing about that is that up until that point, all I had known, I was born whatever 7 years earlier, was Yankees in the World Series. They had been in the World Series essentially every year.
That's all you knew,
right?
All I knew was when they were up 3-0, I was watching with my dad. I'm like, oh, they're going to win this. It's done. And then I couldn't believe the fact that they didn't win that series. It was just heartbreaking because that was the first time I realized the Yankees are human. They can lose. I didn't get it. You know, they were just so dominant. A little bit of a wake-up call. It was probably like the most disappointed I'd ever been as a baseball fan that night. I was watching that grand slam Johnny Damon hit in Game 7. I was like, left. I just didn't know what was going on. I couldn't believe it. Javier Vasquez, what are you doing?
Hey guys, did it hurt more because it was 4 straight losses instead of where the Arizona series was really back and forth and it was a great series?
Yeah,
I can answer that.
We can go one at a time. Let's go with Knickerbocker, then Kenny, then Chris, and myself. Man, I got lots to tell. Go ahead.
I don't know what hurt worse: the fact that it was four straight, or it was because it was the Boston Red Sox. The fact of the matter was, it did not work. It didn't matter which either way because you just remember it as On one side, you got the greatest comeback in the history of sports. We have to give him that. But at the same time, we're looking at it, it's like, wait, it's happening to us. And that's something that usually doesn't happen. We're usually the ones making comebacks. We're usually the ones that are coming, to squash the bug and ending all, any more discussions. Yet we let that something happen where the ghosts of Yankee Stadium just weren't there. They just took a vacation for that year, and it just did not. To answer your question, it hurt either way you look at it, whether it was a back and forth series or because it was, four straight. It just hurt because it was Boston.
Kenny,
yeah,
what about you?
Yeah, I agree. The 2004 hurt more because 2001, we fought. We fought that whole series. We came back twice, game four, game five. And then in the end, it was just a one bad break. Mo threw a good pitch. He jammed Gonzalez, and Diamondbacks caught a break. And there's not much. You can't really say we didn't try. To lose four in a row to the Red Sox, it's just killer. There's nothing worse that can happen.
There's no rivalry
with the Diamondbacks. There's no rivalry there. We don't dislike the Diamondbacks. We dislike the Red Sox. It had to be them.
We hate the Red Sox.
I don't know if it would have been as bad if it was Baltimore who'd done that. I know Baltimore wasn't good then, but if they were, or someone like that, it wouldn't have hurt as much. It's just that there was that rivalry, and then they beat us. And there's nothing you can do about it.
And there's no more curse.
Excuse me?
I know you got a lot of things. Chris, you bring from a historical perspective.
Yeah, I was gonna go up to the roof and jump while you had this conversation, but okay. I used to be vice president of the local Tuskegee Airmen chapter down here in South Jersey, and one of the games that year, I took these guys, we got a box up in Yankee Stadium, and they beat the Orioles, whatever. But during the game, I got a whole big box. It must have been about 25 Yankee caps, And you know how sometimes if you come off a trip or whatever, you don't immediately unpack. And so for some reason in my office, I had all of these Yankee caps out for whoever wanted them, whoever I thought deserved them, because I'm, diehard Yankee, join the fray, this is the New York pinstripe blue thing, blah, 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 blah. And so I see. I remember after we lost the fourth straight game of that World Series, I seriously contemplated taking a blowtorch to each one of them damn hats. I was very serious about it. I was totally done with them. I was upset. I hated them. It was like a bad divorce. It just sucked. It was the worst of the worst of the worst. So, and the reason was, it wasn't, yes, I guess four straight is part of it, but really, it was because it was the Boston Red Sox who had never won in, let's admit it, I don't care about the five wins in 1918 or whatever it was. They really, in the modern baseball era, had never won a World Series, and I wanted to keep them there. And we were known for jinxing them, too. Bucky Dent, Aaron Boone, and all these other situations. Pedro getting tired on the mound that time. And also, the third game, we beat their asses 18-5 or something
that
at Fenway. So it was over in any Yankees fan's mind. It was over. And for this to happen, and then there was that iconic moment. I don't know if you guys remember this, but somehow I remember A-Rod hitting the grounder. And I don't know who picked it up or whatever.
Bronson,
but I remember
Arroyo
him pushing. Yeah, do you remember him pushing the goddamn being so frustrated
Bronson
that he pushed the first?
A-Rod slapped the ball at his glove.
That showed me the level of frustration that was in that clubhouse. I said, okay, you guys don't want to win this. And it was just sad for me, man. I was crestfallen. I was dead. I was done. I wanted to hate myself. Not literally, but to a certain point. Because this is not how you lose. You can lose. It's okay to lose like this to the Tigers or the Orioles, or maybe even the A's. But not them. Not that team. Not those guys with all the beers and the Root fans and the not our hated rivals. So So it was really, really tough for me, man. So I'm so glad they redeemed themselves later on and won a title. Maybe the Red Sox have won since then, I know that, but that's all true, I think. But it doesn't really matter. As long as, you know, my feeling was as long as later on took care of business and did it the right way in this era. So it worked out, I guess.
I definitely am. 2004, I'm going to say this on the record, and this is not just the Yankees. This is all the teams I root for. 2004 was the worst sports moment I ever witnessed, all across the board, whether, I don't care what team it was. All of them. Terrible, man. Terrible. I'm still kind of furious that it happened. Now, and it's the timing of the way it happened. For instance, when we lost to Arizona and we're coming off the 9/11 stuff, unfortunately, with the tragedy and how the city, the nation wrapped around the Yankees at the time, the Yankees were coming off pretty much four World Series in like a 5-year span. I think the last World Series was versus the Mets in 2000, so we're kind of we were in the championship groove. So at the time, I guess a lot of Yankee fans, who whether they're greedy or not, they gave that one a pass to Arizona. Like, all right, it happened, whatever. But when you got to 2004 and you already lost another World Series outside of that to the Marlins, when Josh Beckett was still mowing down guys in Yankee Stadium in 03. I mean, yeah, 03, because we had just beat Grady Little, Pedro Martinez, and the ALCS the year before that with that Aaron Boone home run. So 2004 comes around, 3-0. You thought it was in the bag. We were rejoicing, celebrating. It was pretty much, we pretty much got the state ready to go for the parade. But the way they just collapsed, it has to be 2005. And actually, they got the Boston Red Sox in the groove. They become the evil empire since that year. They are what we used to be. We only have one World Series since 03. I mean, and that was the 09 one versus the Phillies.
Right.
Hands down, to answer your question, Nacho, is hands down. 2004 still stings, man. And I know it's, like, been 11 years. It still stings because it's who you lost to and how you lost to. And in a lot of ways, how many World Series championships could we have had if we won that World Series? Because a lot of – some World Series, some series changes the course of a franchise.
Mm-hmm. That's
an every sport.
We should be talking about number 30, not number 28.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
That's
another
how
couple. I agree. Totally agree. Somebody mentioned A-Rod. Kenny, I had to get your thoughts. You mentioned A-Rod pretty much. It was a little bit of hot news early in this week. He had his hit became big news, a hit in spring training. Since when a base hit was a huge deal in the spring training. And also he had a home run versus the Red Sox on Wednesday. What's your thoughts on A-Rod and the fans' reaction, Kenny? What's been talking on New York Yankees talk?
Very excited when A-Rod hit that home run. I was watching on my computer, and I was just, like, sitting there, and he hits this home run. I'm like, oh, it's out. It's going. I don't know why I was so excited, but the fact that it was him. This is the old A-Rod. It was just that deep blast to left center. You knew it was out right away. And if anyone else hit it, I wouldn't have been so excited. But the fact that it was A-Rod, and he's back, it's signals that he's back and he's ready to play ball when he hit that. And I tell you, he looks real good this spring. He's got a lot of hits. He played the field at one time. He made some nice plays at third. I think he's going to have a good year this year. I think he's healthy. And I think he's going to contribute way more than a lot of people think he's going to contribute.
Let me ask you this. How many games at third? You think he's going to play a lot of third base this year, even though with Heatley and or the first base options, or even the DH option?
I think he'll be pretty much the everyday DH. But, you know, he's the only backup third baseman they had. So I assume Heatley's going to stay healthy. Maybe they'll give him a couple days off. He'll play 5 games at third base this year. Maybe 7. But not a lot of third. But he'll get some time out there.
See, I think A-Rod will probably play about...
What was your thoughts on Yankees? I
think A-Rod will probably play maybe 20 games total.
Oh, really?
I say 20 just because it's 162 games. You figure that, you know, Heatley will probably get you know, some more time, you know, to either DH or get a night off here and there. It's a long season. That's you know, if everybody stays healthy. And, you know, to talk about the home run, I mean, when I saw the replay and I heard the crack of the bat off the ball, I was like, oh, that's gone. And it's it's basically A-Rod of old, you know, almost, because, you know, his approach was perfect. The swing and follow-through he had, and just, you know, when you saw the ball travel and it landed, you know, deep in the left center, you were like, okay. It's like, but I still have that question. Is he back? I need to see another one. And hopefully he, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully he plays today, and hopefully, you know, we can see him, you know, crack another one, because that's what we need to see. We need to see something positive coming out of him, especially, you know, just so we can have some good hopes for the season.
Chris, what's your thoughts on A-Rod earlier this week?
I'm totally with Angel. I gotta wait. I gotta wait and see, because I wanna know what he's thinking. You know, he's been under tremendous scrutiny, as we all know, from the outside looking in. But also, he's a bullheaded SOB also, okay? And I know he wants to, quote-unquote, get back at the media and get back at the Twitter people and get back at the guy that he testified against or whatever, and also kind of even get back at the Yankee brass. You know, he's got a chip on his shoulder. So the only way to retaliate against that is you have to come out and perform. So I want to know what he's got in the arsenal that we have. It's the same question, I guess. What haven't we seen? What is he thinking? What's the real approach going to be? Is he going to be a teammate this time, something which he's never been, you know, to the rest of the guys in the locker room? You know, I mean, A-Rod's a different bird, man. I don't know if you guys remember when they beat the Phillies in the World Series and he drank his own champagne. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, dude. That's not how this shit works. But he'd never been there before. And I think, I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody had to school him on, yo, you got to pour that stuff. You know, so I don't know. It's on him. Do I think he's going to be – I think he's going to break out and do something crazy. I think he's going to give us 25 home runs and 110 RBIs and temporarily set us up. Maybe. If he finds a place in the line in the batting order. You know, I don't know where his head is. And with his head, when he's ready to play, he'll let us know. That's how I look at it. That's where I'm going with that, Steve. What do you think?
Hey, my thought is, as long as he brings the consistency to the table, we discussed the Yankees podcast a few weeks ago when we were on. I don't really have a lot of expectations out of him as far as numbers. If he can give us around that 265 to 270 area on the batting average, and the slugging is about in the 30% range, that's kind of low, a little bit higher. And then I'd say 17 to 20 home runs in about mid-70s. 70 to 75, maybe 80 RBIs. I would be cool with that, knowing that his age, everything he's gone through. I know that's kind of underproduction for somebody with a massive contract, but mm-hmm. I really got to see how. I never really seen where somebody came off a full season of suspension this late in their career and expected to put up MVP numbers. I'm not really. That's my expectations. Not that high. I know a lot of Yankees fans feel differently than that. But as far as his production and spring training and the home run and getting the base hit, I mean, it's a good start. I just want to see durability for the rest of the season. Could he deliver in clutch spots when we got runners in scoring position, second and third, two outs, and you're on the road? You know, whether it's top of the ninth, extra inning, or even bottom half of the ninth, and we're at home. Can he give us a clutch hit, a double, a ground rule double, or even a home run? His batting style, he's been a power hitter all his life. I don't want him to change that per se, but I want him to deliver in clutch situations more than just hitting a million home runs in, you know, August and then not delivering if we did get to the postseason. So hopefully he has that consistency throughout the season. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Hey, Nacho, if you're still with us. You still with us, Nacho?
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, you fired. Hey, quick question. How do you feel? How do you view A-Rod as a fan from the outside looking in? What are your thoughts on A-Rod as a non-Yankee fan? What's your thoughts?
as a non-Yankee fan, nothing against the Yankees, but A-Rod is a piece of work. someone who pretty much, in my eyes, he's gotten away with doping since he started his career in MLB. That's my opinion. I don't know. People may have different opinions, but he's gotten away with it up until now. And he got away with it for snitching on the guy who was giving it to him. So I just don't understand him. He just doesn't make any sense to me. He's a great baseball player, don't get me wrong, but as a person, or was a great baseball player, as a person, you know, and as a player of the game, and like I'm a big person of integrity and keeping the integrity of the game intact. And he's a person that for baseball just isn't right for me. But as it comes to on the field, like you guys said, you know, we just gotta wait and see. This is their preseason, you know, spring training. He hasn't even played an away game. If he does play today, I believe it'll be his first away game against the Blue Jays. So I got to see how he reacts and plays in a hostile environment, because you know no other fan base is going to welcome him like the Yankees fan base has welcomed him back. So we just got to see how he plays like that too, I guess.
You're right about that. A-Rod getting cheers in his debut. Knickerbocker, have you had something to say as far as shout-outs?
I'd like to give a quick shout out to a Facebook group out there. They're called the Yankee Bombers. Very good Facebook group. They're ranked like number 6 according to some website. I'm sorry, I don't remember which website that was, but give them a look. Check them out. Join their discussion forum. They have a lot of great stuff on the Yankees. But also want to switch it up from A-Rod to, you know, and everything going on this weekend till Tuesday. 7:05 against the Blue Jays in Tampa, the return of the big man, CC Sabathia, takes the hill.
I'm so excited about this. Man, I wanted to get into this. Let's see. Yeah, CC Sabathia, pretty much 29 pitches in 2 innings in a simulated spring training game. Set to pitch Tuesday, and Knickerbocker had with a nice alley-oop to that segue. Kenny, what's your thoughts on CC returning on Tuesday? Same difference with tonight. What's your expectations with CC Sabathia?
I'm very excited for his return. I think the added weight he's put on can't hurt. That's a different discussion, though. I think his fastball will be good. I think his curveball will be good, as always. Hopefully he's not throwing the batting practice at 88 miles an hour like he was last year. But this year, I'm looking for him just to throw innings. I'm looking for him to throw, you know, 180 to 200 innings. In the start on Tuesday, I think Knickerbocker said it was on Tuesday, you know, a couple of innings, maybe throw right around 30 pitches. That would be a success. Work him up. Like Tanaka, work his pitch count up over the course of spring training so he can be at full strength at the start of the season. And then again, you know, 180 to 200 innings, anything over 15 wins would be a huge success in my mind.
All right, we'll go back to Knickerbocker. Have any additional comments with CC Sabathia, and then go on to Chris?
I'm glad to see the reports that, you know, he did throw 29 pitches. He pretty much felt comfortable, had no pain. His knees, you know, pretty much reacting right the way you would hope he would. I just hope that his fastball velocity is back, and he can sustain it throughout a course of a game. Just like Kenny said, you know, 2 or 3 innings, you know, for the spring, just for starting off, should be enough. I mean, you're playing against the Blue Jays, you know. They got a lot of heavy hitters on that squad, but considering it's spring training, you're not going to see most of them. But I want to see how he reacts against certain pitchers, especially against righties, and see if eventually he can start working against his left, because his batting average against the lefties, you know, prior to all these ailments, was pretty much dominant. I mean, remember back from the 2009 season, lefties could not touch him, and now. You know, as time went on, and his velocity became an issue, his health became an issue. I just hope that he can get back to at least true CC form, and you know, start you know working his way to becoming the true ace. I know we're saying Tanaka's the ace now, but I want CC to come back as that true ace, the true leader of this pitching rotation.
Chris, what's your thoughts on Big Luther?
See, you know what? That's the example I was going to use. You read my mind. You know, I totally walk in here lockstep with Knickerbocker Abs assessment. You know, I know that in his heart of hearts that he wants to be the ace of this team again, and he will be if he puts his mind to it. But I have a real issue on a personal note with people that go up and down in weight like that, because it's not healthy. I don't care what the glamour folks say. I don't care what the diet folks say. I think that it's, if you're a naturally husky guy, and that's how you got its success, you know, having that extra weight, being able to go deep into innings with that, I guess that girth carried something else with it, you know. And with him being thin like that, or getting advised to go down and then come back up and go down, ever since he had to do that, he hasn't been the dominant, quote-unquote, pitcher that he was early on in his career. So I'm a little wary about that. I hope that maybe he's got a program now that says that speaks to his effectiveness, his pitching effectiveness, and how he can handle it throughout the course of a season, one season as opposed to, because let's admit, he's been fractured a while now. And people are quick to point out, well, you know, he's the kind of guy that pitches a lot of innings every year. It's not that. I think it's his health. And if he's going, I don't know if he's found his niche being the way that he's at, but there's an argument to be said about big CC versus the small one, and I think the big one is the one that we need. I hate to say it that way, but that was a dominant pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want any proof, go look at the Cleveland and Milwaukee case. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's just my take.
Do you think anybody on the line, as far as CC's about, do you think he peaked out? Do you think that's something left in the tank? Has he reached his peak, his pitching peak, Kenny, Knickerbocker?
I think he's, you know, slightly past his prime. I say his prime was 2009, 2008, right in there. That's when he's physically most able to pitch at the top of this game. But I don't think he's done by any means. I still think he's capable of pitching well, pitching a lot, and staying healthy. I think he can still be a great pitcher in this league. By all means, he can keep going.
Think about that. What about you? You feel that he's past his peak, past his prime?
Not past his prime, but his top
performance.
I'm starting to feel that way. I'm starting to feel like we're starting going towards the slow and steady decline of CC Sabathia. I mean, he is getting older, and you know, he's been in the league a long time. And you know, with Chris saying, you know, his fluctuation in his weight is a concern. However, he's the kind of guy that, you know, that I don't know. He just adjusts, you know, to his size pretty well, except when he dropped the weight dramatically. I think that was a huge issue. Now that he's back to his more or less closer to his normal weight, to something that he's used to, something that that feels comfortable and feels familiar, I think CC, you know, can still contribute. He can still, you know, put up at least 16 to 17 wins, you know, on a good year. And
yeah,
that's what you – that's all you hope for right now. I mean, yeah, would you like to have him go to 21, 22 wins? Sure, but let's just see if he can go towards a steady decline, just like Pettit did. Pettit went from, you know, from 20 and started slowly going down to the 15s and the 16s. That's what you want from CC. You want CC just to get back close to what he was, but, you know, to his true realistic form, which is, you know, a guy in his mid to late 30s.
Right.
Okay. I'll say this about CC real quick, and then we'll get a few minutes out. CC, I feel that he can still give us, like you guys all say, you guys are pretty much on point. He's not going to be the same as far as when he was at his in Milwaukee and then when he first came to the Yankees. However, I think he could still contribute, and I agree with Chris as far as going up and down in weight, how it's going to affect his body. That is somewhat of a concern. I said that on the prior podcast as far as him still being able to give us something. I think that one season last year, we got to give him a pass because before that, he's giving you a lot of 200 innings plus innings pitch. And if he didn't give you 200 and there was a couple of seasons, he almost gave you a high 190 total innings pitch. So I feel that he could bring us some durability. I do fear when we see Tuesday versus the Blue Jays, I do not know what lineup they're going to put out against us on Tuesday night. I do feel that when we do play them in the regular season, up to those almost, 18 games we play within the division, they have a lot of righty bats, some speed, Jose Reyes, Russell Martin, of course, Jose Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson. I do want to see how he feels against these power bats within the division. We got to play these guys all year round and how he overcomes those situations in tough spots. So that's my only concern, really, with CC Sabathia. He's a professional. I expect him to come out and give us something. So we'll see what happens with that. We got a few minutes out. Nacho, you got any final thoughts? You've been tuning in. Thank you very much for joining this Yankees podcast. Any final thoughts with the baseball right now?
No, just excited. Excited, like I said, becoming more of a fan of the sport. Just excited for the upcoming season to begin. And thank you guys for letting me voice my opinion. It's a great show. Like I said, you guys are one of the few shows that have inspired me to continue or to furthermore watch baseball, and it's awesome. You guys are a great show. Thank you for letting me come on.
Oh, man, you're the best, man. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and you follow him as a Nacho in the Box, correct?
Yeah, Nacho in the Box. The is T-H-A.
We always shout out the fans at Nacho in the Box. Also, and by the way, real quick, it's a real digression. Mayweather's going to win. We'll talk about that in the future. We'll discuss that. Kenny, final thoughts, how we can find your content, everything, the whole shebang.
I'm looking forward to the year ahead. I think spring training has really shown me personally that this team has a lot of good components. And even if this team doesn't, make the playoffs, doesn't win a championship, there is one in our near future. We got a lot of good guys in the system. They're coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how can we find you on WordPress, all the information for your website and your dialogue?
You got my Facebook page, New York Yankees Talk. There's a link to my website. We can find my articles, newyorkyankeestalk.wordpress.com.
Cool. All right, great. Thank you very much. Knickerbocker Ave, how can we find you and your final thoughts and all your information?
Well, you can find me on Knickerbocker Ave where I cover mostly the New York Knicks. I cover everything happening from the garden to the streets, let you all know what's going on with the orange and blue. And my final thoughts is simply this. Three simple words. Let's go, Yankees.
There it is.
There it is. Chris, final thoughts. Take us home.
Oh, man, let's just win. Let's just be Yankees. We have a winning tradition here in New York, and let's continue it, man. The Yankees know what they're supposed to do, so let's do it. That's it. End of story. Just that simple.
End of story. Absolutely. The Yankees got the split squad action today versus the Tigers and the Blue Jays. You can check out the Bleed Blue Show, the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, at the Bleed Blue Show, our archives, iTunes, Podcast Republic, and the TuneIn app. You can check us out for the New York Yankees every Saturday morning. You can join Kenny, Chris, and Knickerbocker Ave and all the Bleed Blue Show stakeholders as we discuss the New York Yankees and all the other teams we do for the sport. Check us out. Other than that, I like the progress thus far of the season. The young guys got to get these horses back slowly but steady. Don't want them to overdo them. And we will keep an eye out on this on the progress of this roster and looking forward to the season as we head towards April 6th for opening day. But spring training, we got about a half a month left in that, so we're going to do this Yankees podcast. So Other than that, guys, bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Pinstripe blue.
Blue. That's right.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, 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 blee.